Hi, this is Drew, and thanks for listening to our podcast. Hopefully, you've been enjoying our show for a while now, but if you're a brand new listener, then the next 50 seconds are not for you, so just go ahead and fast forward a bit. I just wanted to ask our longtime listeners to consider becoming patrons of The Drew Marshall Show, because by throwing us just a few bucks each month, you'll be helping what many tell us is the most brutally authentic spiritual show they've ever heard stay on the air. Look, as loyal podcast listeners, you've been getting the same programming our radio listeners have been hearing live Saturdays 1 to 5 for the last 16 years. Except you get to hear everything commercial-free, you smart consumer, you. Well, because of a brand new arrangement with our studio, our expenses have now gone through the roof. And to be brutally honest, we could use the help to cover those costs. So just before you go to bed tonight, maybe you could stop by our website and click on the giant click here to become a patron sign. And if a whole bunch of you were able to scrounge up like $4 per month, then individually your $4 would have just made a massive difference in helping us cover what it costs to bring you the Drew Marshall Show. Okay, that's it. Sorry to bug you. Now on with the show. I hope you have a good sleep tonight after you become a patron.
I'd like to apologize to everybody because normally we don't play music that long, you know?
No.
Good tune, but
it
was...
great tune.
I'm on a bit of a diet. I'm trying to shrink the man boobs. and I had to have a little power bar thing or whatever. And
they're quite chewy. And
I can't get rid of it.
They're a little drier than traditional chocolate bars.
Very
so
drier.
Really suck the saliva out of you.
I could use a pint right now.
Yes, a nice quality keto pint.
Keto pint. Okay, listen, we're going to talk a little bit more about this. What's the place called again? Harvest.
Oh, Chicago.
Yeah, I'd rather talk about Chicago. We're going to talk about the Harvest Bible Chapel Church. I don't even know what it's called. James McDonald. I remember hearing him a long time ago and thinking, all right, I like the direct thing, you know, the man preaching or whatever. Yeah. It was like Home Improvement meets
yep.
Jesus.
Yep.
But then I sort of realized that there was a cookie cutter phenomena happening where the harvest chapels that were popping up had to be run a certain way, and the vibe and the feel was like, well, this is what we believe, and if you don't like it, don't go here, kind of a thing. And I don't know, I just didn't dig that. And so, a few weeks ago, I talked to Julie Royce. I think she was, you know, key reporter in breaking a lot of this news. And for those of you that don't know what we're talking about, there's another big stinking megachurch in the States. I don't know what they do down there with the megachurch thing.
Well, they have, like...
celebrity meets Jesus.
Well, they have 300 million more people down there.
Oh, yeah, there's
there,
that.
So,
yeah.
It's a little just naturally bigger.
And another big megachurch that's gone down the gurgler, as they say in Australia. And the preacher was canned. Basically, eventually, he was canned. Not before he did a whole lot of crying.
Okay.
Anyway, one of the guys that I really want to talk to about all this is who we've got on the show right now. Mancow Muller. Now, you probably don't know his name because most of y'all live in Canada. But he's a Chicago radio dude. Chicago. Shock Jock is the label. I don't know if he still likes that term or whatever. If that's a real, but he's an ex-Harvest Bible Church attendee, although I think he might just show up every once in a while just to sort of, I don't know. Because there's a whole, I've got so many things. Let's just keep going with the thing here. Ex-Bible Church attendee and ex-James McDonald pal. That's the best moniker. I like that one. Previously attended Harvest Bible Chapel and considered himself good friends with the pastor, James McDonald. However, in 2019, he began calling for McDonald to resign or be removed as pastor, calling him a con artist, among other things. Mancow, thank you for joining us on the show. Would you say that you started calling for, you started calling BS on stuff before 2019?
Well, it was the end of last year, so 2018.
2018. I don't know where I got that. It was a copy and paste. It says 2019. Okay, so before, you've been kind of chewing on this for a heck of a long time, for an entire year, and all of a sudden you get the news that the dude's fired. Did you go yippee? Or like, what was your reaction,
brother? It's heartbreak. It's not a cheerful thing. It's not a good feeling. And look, you know, you feel duped. You certainly feel duped. You certainly feel conned. And I can go through the whole story with you quickly, if you want.
Well, to be honest, Please don't take this the wrong way. I don't want, but I know our listeners need to know. They need to know. And you have got the best summation of things. So please give us the summation.
Well, the guy's a good friend of mine, and I'm a Christ follower. I'm a churchgoer. I've got two little girls. I think it's important that they have a background, some kind of moral foundation, and that's what I was going for. What I didn't bargain for was a bunch of church politics. And yeah, look, Harvest Church is a huge church, and I don't have a problem with, a Christian church being popular. Why not? You talked about how they're cookie cutter. Well, they have a certain formula that worked. When I saw behind the curtain, the Wizard of Oz type of thing, I really saw a con artist. So look, this Julie Royce you were talking about, I was told was threatening children, and there was a pedophile situation on one of the campuses, and she was attacking children, all kinds of madness. And we got to stop her. So I volunteered my lawyer, a guy named Michael Young, to help him out. And about 2 weeks in, my lawyer called and said, "You're going to want a new church." Why? What's going on? Come on. And he wouldn't tell me. He can't, attorney-client privilege. But really what started to unfold was this guy was lying and was attacking this woman, and I was helping to attack this woman because he just wanted to silence her. And it was very heartbreaking to me. Look, I do a radio show, and I like to get the story out there, and I don't want anyone to silence me. And they were using my lawyer to shut this woman down. past elders that had been, they were troublemakers, they were disgruntled employees, and it turns out none of that was true either. And we were told, don't pay attention to them, they're just trolls. And look, I have my own trolls to deal with, I'm sure you do too. So I believe they're trolls, troublemakers. And through this lawsuit, I got to see that I was on the wrong side. And so I started to talk about some of the things that Pastor James was doing. And I had heard him talk about planning child pornography on enemies' computers, and mostly, and I thought, a joking way, but he said some quite horrific things that I've never said out loud. And so people from the church called me, sources called me, said, "Man, he's thinking of putting child porn on your computer to get you to shut up." And I kind of laughed it off and talked to a guy named Jeffrey Leving. He's a big father's rights attorney known in North America, really a famous guy. And he said, "Man, this is just the hint of that. Just that statement could make it so you don't see your kids again." And you can't kid around with something like this. And I went on the air and I said, "Look, this is what I've heard he's planning on doing." And I revealed a few more things I knew about him. And it all just was kind of a domino effect. And the guy got fired.
Dude, do you feel bad? Or no?
Look, the guy was a friend. We vacationed together. He baptized me in the Jordan River. I do feel bad. But I also think the guy is a con artist. I think that he stole, in my opinion, probably tens of millions of dollars. I think that if the FBI, our government, looked into the finances, I think the guy should go to jail.
Yeah.
So, and look, the truth is, had he won the lawsuit with my lawyer, I would have been the hero in the church and the hero to him and been fine with that as well. But then again, I wouldn't have known the truth.
We just got off the phone with Clive, who was a member of the Waco community, and his daughter, 18-year-old daughter, was burned in the fire. And, he was part of the whole thing. And I said to him, this must be one of the main questions he gets all the time is, how do you still believe in, how are you still a Branch Davidian? How do you still believe in the teachings of David Koresh? How are you still looking forward to David Koresh coming back after all of this went down? And it's a similar sort of question for you, I would guess, in some way. Like, this must have had a hit on your spiritual stuff. No?
Oh, come on, man. You better believe it. And, I wouldn't equate being a Christian with being a Branch Davidian. I don't know much about them. My thought has always been it's too much government that killed those people. The government went in to shut these people up and murdered them. But look, all I know is the propaganda from the lamestream media. I don't, does America, does Canada, does anybody know the truth about Waco? I don't know. I know what we've been fed.
Yeah.
But as far as my story goes, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. You were playing the Moody Blues, who are buddies of mine. And they're God followers, they're Christ seekers, but certainly when you see a guy that uses a tool, uses the Bible as a tool to steal, and doesn't really seem to have any fear of the ramifications. Absolutely, it rocked my faith. And
Manka, how are you able to separate the whole, okay, just because Buddy's a D-bag doesn't mean that Jesus is fake? The thinking that would maybe go, all right, I got smoked, I got duped, I got hoodwinked here, that kind of stuff. So maybe this whole God thing isn't even real, or maybe I'm getting it wrong, or maybe I'm, you know, you go back to the drawing board a little bit spiritually. I'm sure you didn't throw the proverbial, you know, baby Jesus out with the bathwater.
Well, so you don't believe in Jesus Christ, and you're not a God guy. So it's hard to explain. You know, look, I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I believe that it's a living thing. I believe the blood of Christ is a powerful force, and it right now, right this second. So because some guy ends up being a jerk off, that doesn't mean that Jesus is a real man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Beings, right.
Yeah. No. Human beings will let you down, but no. I mean, the fact is that as far as church and everything goes, and you know, Hybels, I went to that church, Willow Creek, another huge church. That guy was brought down.
Man, don't come up to my church, man. What is with you and the? Jeez.
No, absolutely. It's believe me, it's not lost on me. These are two huge churches, but you know, to be in the media and to be, you know, Willow, I went to because I went with Mel Gibson and things like that. So there's political things involved here as well, but as far as just, you know, trying to follow Jesus Christ and this guy was not the best messenger. And now you have all of these people coming out and saying all of his elders are goons who threatened me and sent me, you know, really horrible things. Things like, you know, let God take care of things. And I really wasn't, I think God uses human beings to do things. Mm. And so the fact that I spoke out about what a creep this guy was and wrote articles in the paper and this sort of thing and helped Julie Royce, who you were talking about earlier, now that it's over, they're all praising me and they're my best buddy. But they had 20 years. I mean, I wish my family had never stumbled into that church. I want to do a stupid radio show, not be involved in church politics. And so you really have elders that were getting rich. I mean, all these guys were getting very, very rich. And you know, I guess I would tell your listeners, don't go to a church where the books aren't open. Don't just give money to an open fund at any church. Make sure you know specifically where the money is going, because legally then they can't just spend it on mansions and that sort of thing.
What about non-disclosure agreements? I like that one.
Well, I mean, you know, come on, how creepy. And I you know, the new guys, which were hired by James McDonald, are still, you know, it's the same crew. They're not opening the books. They're not getting rid of the non-disclosure agreements. I mean, that is really creepy. And I think you're going to see two or three women come forward, their Me Too moments with James McDonald, I understand. James' assistant, there's various LLCs. And, you know, who owns all this land? And people will say, well, James McDonald started that church. Well, yeah, the people that volunteer, and this guy was getting all this tax-free money, not because he's James McDonald, but because of Jesus. So I think people... I think they look to the man when they need to be looking past the man.
Is it true that they're $42 million in debt?
Well, and I mean, that I heard from him directly. He asked me for $3 million, and I said, man, I don't have $3 million.
I'm sorry. What?
Yeah, he asked me for $3 million, and I have a picture of the letter he sent, the paper that he handed me. And he said, well, see who gets blessed more. And of course, I'm thinking, wait a minute. Of course, you can donate endless amounts of money because it's all of our money that we're giving you. So he can donate it back to the church because it goes in his pocket. And then he also suggested that I buy a house next to him, a retirement community in Naples, Florida, which is where he wanted to retire, and that I would then leave that house to the church, which is basically him and his kids. And I said, well, why wouldn't I leave a house in Florida to my own children? And he didn't like that at all. That got met with a cold, icy stare. So, you know, these things started happening, and it wasn't all at once. Evil, you know, and evil doesn't come in with a twirling mustache and a creepy laugh. Evil is very seductive.
Well, sometimes it does come in like that. Okay, hold on. You know, I remember years ago, so I've been in the show 16 years, and I remember the first few years, not all I focused on, but one of my main focuses was I took the Mickey out of the prosperity doctrine, people. I just don't have the time of day for that crap. I don't. I just think it's ludicrous. And I think the people that, you know, which is worser, real word, the preacher or the people that are worshiping the preacher, right? So, and when I was about to let in, or, you know, get stuck into, what's his name, Benny, no, not Benny Hill, not him, Hinn. What's his Benny name, Benny Hinn. Hinn, when I got stuck into Benny Hinn, I had people phone me before the show and warn me. They said, do not talk badly about him. He is God's chosen. You're not supposed to be talking about the spiritual leaders in this way. Why would you do, you know, blah, 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 blah. Did you get that kind of heat too?
I did, and I've been backstage with Benny Hinn as well. I've interviewed people that swear that they've been healed at some of his conferences. I mean, they seem very sincere. I'm sure you've had those same conversations.
I wish he'd heal his hair.
Is very. What's that?
I said I wish he'd heal his hair.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, that look, that's the great thing about Christianity and Christians is, you know, peaceful people. They're not going to kill you. They're not going to fly a plane into a building and kill you. So it's easy to make fun of Christians, easy to laugh at these things we believe because we're basically peaceful, loving people. So I understand why we get the, you know, I understand the jokes.
By the way, I want to clarify something you said earlier. I think you were sort of talking about what I believed. Let me tell you what I do believe, just in case you're interested. Let me share. So I'm a red-letter agnostic theist.
Well, I don't know what that would be. So what are you? What does that mean?
It means that, you know, the Bibles that you find in the hotel rooms that have, whenever Jesus talked, they were written in red. I think that the stuff Jesus said is so gold, that I don't care who you are, that's a good code to live by, number one.
Well, we would agree.
Okay. So red letter.
You're not an atheist. You're an agnostic. You don't have it all figured out. I really don't think anyone has it all figured out. I think, look, we're talking about God and the universe and eternity. And, you know, James McDonald or Benny Hinn or you or me or nobody has it figured out. We're just trying to do the right things and figure things out. And it's a difficult path.
Yeah, Manko,
I think that's why we're here.
Manko, yeah. I was a pastor. I was an evangelical certaintist for 30 plus years. And now I'm a red letter agnostic. Is there a God? Isn't there a God? I don't know. I hope there's a God, but I hope more than that there's a God. I hope it's actually a God who's a loving God and not a, you know, psycho God. That wouldn't be good. And then theist, I look around this planet and man, it stinks of design. It really does suggest that there's purpose and meaning and something more. So that's where I'm at when it comes to all that stuff.
Well, you sound like a God believer to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just no longer a certaintist.
And I think the reason that I was able to become friends with a Bill Hybels or a McDonald or any of these guys, even Benny Hinn, interviewed John of God as well, is I really wanted to go into that as you did. You did it. I mean, my goal was not to be a radio guy. I wanted to be a preacher. But my ego was such that I would want to have the, you know, the crystal cathedral. I would want to save the most souls. You know? No, seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would want to bring in the most money. And I thought, well, that's not very godly. And as it turns out, I would have been a great megachurch preacher. I just really believed all those red letter parts, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's unfortunate. That gets in the way of...
If not for that, I would have had a big money career with lots of tax-free dollars and lots of gullible followers. But, of course, I don't want people, and I'm sure you don't either, wagging their tail and following you off a cliff.
No, that's
so. That's what these guys are doing.
A culture of authoritarianism, secrecy, intimidation, outlandish fundraising expectations, poor financial controls, and debt. Sorry, was that were you talking about Donald Trump's campaign, or was that?
Don't believe the media in Canada. You're
I know. I just thought I'd push a button. I know. No.
But I mean, we really are. I mean, it really is frightening that we are getting just propaganda. And I fish every summer at T2 in Canada, and you guys have the same types of propaganda that we get. I mean, I don't know, man. Don't believe the headlines. Always is all I'm saying. But Harvest was it was money, and you know, and look, I got it. I understand they have to keep the lights on, and I don't understand private jets and multiple houses for a preacher. And so when I started to see that, it sickened me, and that's why I came forward.
You know, with these conversations I have about rich Christians or you know, prosperity doctrine and all that kind of stuff, I always end up coming back to that final scene in Schindler's List, where Liam Neeson breaks down because he looks down at his hand, his giant...
One more.
Huh? Yeah, one more. Yeah, you know the scene. Yeah, one more. How many could I have saved if I just sold this stinking ring in my hand? So, I don't know. I contrast those two moments.
Well, I mean, the piggish behaviors that I saw from James McDonald, the fear that all of us had as friends, you would go out and anybody at a restaurant, anybody that couldn't help him was a peon and was treated just in the worst possible way. So, yeah, I mean, look, I gave money to, there's a Christian camp, and like I said, to keep the lights on, not for this guy to be a pig, not for secret funds. I believe they had secret funds to pay off people that had to be paid off, not to enforce their non-disclosure agreements. People get legal letters. Boy, don't talk to the media. We will sue you. And I've gotten a few threats from the church as well. And then they also had boot parties, which is what he joked about, which was basically, you step out of line and I've heard stories where, you get the shit kicked out of you. So that kind of thing. Not very godly, not very red letters in the Bible.
No. I wonder what he and Mark Driscoll talk about these days.
Where's the next con coming from? It's Sting 2.
I think they should start a new Christian camp. Instead of calling it Jesus Camp, they could call it Bully Camp.
Well, I mean, and look, I think we overdo the bully thing. I think any teasing or anything is now, oh, you're a bully.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Snowflake. Yep, got it.
I know any time on my radio show that I show emotion, you're angry. You're angry. No, I'm excited. I'm in a great mood. What are you talking about? So, but I think the guy really was a classic bully, and he was pulling in so much money, and you vacationed with him, you hung out with him, you partied with him, and your paycheck came from him. So there was no checks and balances at Harvest, and they all left just grabbing curtains off the wall and taking the toilet paper. Any dime they could grab, they're still fighting for money, and when they get up, we're still told to pray for Pastor James and the elders. I don't care about. I care about this woman Ann Green that was. She claims molested by McDonald. There's going to be others coming forward. That's what I'm hearing from my sources, the newspapers. I'm praying for the people, and you talk about different movies. I'll tell you what always goes through my mind, which is Godspell, and it's When Will Thou Free the People, O God of Mercy? When? What about the people? We're talking about Benny Hinn. We're talking about James McDonald. We're talking about Mark Driscoll. What about the flock? What about the people that will never read those red letters of Christ in the Bible because they've been so turned off by these pigs at the trough? Mm-hmm. That's who I pray for, and that's what makes me sick about all of this. People, of course, you see, it's all fake, it's all thievery, it's all a lie. Well, how are you going to explain the nuances of any of this to someone who has no idea what Jesus is? What a horrible ambassador these people are for his words and his kingdom. I don't take any, someone said online, oh, Mancow takes great pleasure in the tumble of James McDonald. I don't take any pleasure in it. And I wish this the elders and those people in charge had done their jobs so my family didn't have to stumble into that place to be fleeced. Caught, oh, Mancow, good job. Well, you did a good job. The same people that were threatening me at the end of last year.
How old are your twins, by the way?
13.
I got twin grandkids. I'm looking forward to that kind of insanity. But anyway, how did you explain to them? Because kids can also look up to the pastor of the church. How the heck do you explain all this to them?
He was a family friend. We played board games together. We vacationed together. And I want to tell you what I've done has been very, very brave. You ready? I said nothing. I don't know what to do. We've gone to a couple other churches, and And it's just, you know, I feel numb. I don't hear anything they're saying. And I just don't really know how to explain it to my kids yet. I want to have the conversation with them, but I've really been, brother, I'm still kind of punch drunk from it.
Yeah. We're chatting with, by the way, am I saying your last name right? Is it Mueller?
Yes. Yeah. And you know, look, nobody likes to be duped. And you say, who's the bigger dummy? Well, I guess I'm the bigger dummy sitting there. But, you know, the teaching, you had said it at the beginning of your show here. I mean, the teachings were good. The guy's a great preacher. He's a great actor.
Mankell, what about the rest of the Harvest franchises? What do you think? Are they're all fine and dandy and peachy, or do we need to maybe wonder about stuff there?
No, it's a culture of thievery. They should all be fired. Forensic accounting should be done. I believe you're going to find endless LLCs with little bits of land and all kinds of fronts and phony doctored stuff. And I think tens of millions of dollars in the McDonald family trust, whatever it is, and it needs to be broken up. And no, they need to bring in fresh blood. All of these people went through the vertical church, the vertical living, the vertical. They were all programmed by James McDonald. And so it's like saying, Hitler's gone. What about Goebbels? No, he's got to go. And there's a lot of really smiling, very sensitive. They feel, they love. You are loved. There's a lot of those folks left that were trying to put a knife in my back. And they're still there. Oh, they just need a hug. And can we go? Can we just sit down and talk with them? The women that were molested, the kids that spent their summers in a cabin with a pedophile. Can we just all sit and talk? No, I don't want to sit and talk with you. You're the guys that were trying to stop me. You're the guys that were running this scam for the last 30 years.
So hold on. Are you saying
churches or the Harvest cult? I think it needs to be broken up. And time for something new.
Yeah, but aren't they already? Like, didn't a bunch of them say, okay, we're no longer part of this, we're out, and we're going to rename ourselves, we don't want anything to do with that?
No, they all, we stand by Pastor James. We stand by Pastor James. And then there was all kinds of stuff came out about him trying to plant pornography, child pornography on my computer, but joking about it on others' computers, and an endless amount of stuff came out. There's a guy named Dallas Jenkins, whose father is Jerry Jenkins, who wrote all the Left Behind novels, and he came out about the abuse that he went through. And so, no, they all, like a bunch, look, they want their paychecks, man. They're not going to make that big money starting at the small, church. They're in a mega church, and they're making mega bucks. Everybody's wives was on the payroll. If you ran a prayer group at your house on Wednesday nights, you got $100,000. If you worked at the t-shirt shop for 3 hours on the weekend and you were related to James McDonald, you got $60,000 a year. Everybody was, no, they're all okay. Still there. And by the way, they feel real bad about what happened, but not bad enough to get rid of the non-disclosure agreements and not bad enough to open the books.
Hey, did you throw out all of your James McDonald CDs and books that you had? Because you had a bunch.
Well, I should say I bought a bunch of them, and he gave me a bunch of them. A little bit of ego there from his part. I got a gold pen every year. I got nice gifts every year with his logo and face. And I'll tell you, man, once they start removing the cross as the logo, that bothered me too. They kind of had a militaristic logo there, that vertical church logo. Do you know the one I'm talking about?
No.
Well, you look it up. The logo for Harvest is not a, it's not a cross. It's a military kind of symbol.
Okay.
But no, you know.
All right. Oh, it's got the sergeant stripes or whatever. I'm looking at it now.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. And he ran it. You know, he ran. And look, I'm okay with manly man. That's okay.
Yeah.
He ran it like a manly man. But brother, had he, you know, forgiveness, repentance, doing what's right, all of these things, if he had read one, I had 100 of his books. Had he read one chapter, had he done one chapter, had he done one of his sermons, had he done one of his sermons, had he called me at any time, had he been a decent Christian or just a human being, other than a megalomaniacal, I won't curse here, but...
You mean again.
everything would have been different. But he was so consumed with ego and power that God removed the protection, man. I'm telling you, it was biblical. I've never experienced anything like it. You want to talk about this was biblical. His hedge of protection was removed. And you can run on, what was Johnny Cash say? You can run on for a long time, but sooner or later, God's going to cut you down. This guy was laughing all the way to the bank, and then God went, okay, enough. And I mean, it all crumbled within a week.
But did you throw out his stuff, though, man? Because, you know, if there's Satan, there's a guy named Larry Norman who's like the godfather of rock and roll, and he would say things like, I'm not sure if I believe that Satan crawls into albums. You know, back in the day, you and I are the same age. Back in the day, they had backward masking and all that kind of claims and stuff. Yeah. He says, I'm not sure demons climb into albums, because what if they crawled into the wrong one accidentally? Like, what if they got into a Neil Diamond album? They'd be on the shelf for years, you know.
I got caught smoking marijuana in, I don't know, fifth or sixth grade on a church bus. And my dad walked in and he picked up one of my records. And he goes, it's this rock and roll. It's this demon rock and roll that's making me do these things. But you got it. Here's the joke. I'm sitting there crying on my bed looking at him. And he broke the album. And it was Elton John, Caribou. trust me when I tell you, Elton John's Caribou record never made any kid do anything cool.
No. That's like busting up an ABBA record.
Total waste of dad's effort there.
Yeah, big time. So, big time. Hey, listen, let me ask you, how come your wife bailed on the Pope?
Well, listen, and C.S. Lewis says, you know, it's a fool that sees demons everywhere, and it's a fool that sees them nowhere. There is evil forces at work. There is evil on earth. And I don't believe in just throwing stuff away. I torched it. So all the McDonald's.
You did. You're going back to the question. So you did torch. You burned it.
Yeah, I had 50 T-shirts and all kinds of CDs and DVDs, and I melted them down. I covered them with gasoline and burn.
Wow, you seem like the kind of guy that would have thrown in a Koran as well.
No. I don't want to be offensive in any way. I must be politically correct at all times.
Did you hear any hissing?
But, no. My wife did. You know, she didn't give up on the Pope. What happened is, I'm an evangelical guy, and she goes to church with me on Sunday. But when I met her, she was singing in the Catholic Church.
I've heard about those girls.
Yeah, and I don't know this Pope thing with the. I'm sure you've covered it. This pedophilia, which is something that's driven me crazy since I started doing radio in the mid '80s, is this idea that, well, if Catholics could get married, Catholic priests, they wouldn't rape children. See, if I couldn't have sex with women because of my job, I wouldn't have sex with children. I'd sneak and have sex with women. So what you really have is, of course, pedophiles infiltrating the church, and it's not about sex. It's about a satanic thing that they're doing, and that's a whole nother show. But the Pope has been so weak on this, it's really heartbreaking for all the victims.
Are you still a shock jock? You okay with that label? What does that label do? Like, is that your shtick? Well, or are you, like, now since you've been banned or fined or whatever the heck it was, are you back and now you're like NPR guy?
Yeah, exactly. No, look, brother, I'm a Christian American. So how about that? 80% of the world wants me dead. It's shocking. What you and I just said in our little conversation would be considered shocking. You know, a shock jock says something like, I want to go rape a Girl Scout and take her cookies to be shocking. I've never done that.
Never said that.
I've never considered myself a shock jock. I don't know where it comes from, but there you go.
Yeah. But do people look at your thing and your what you do weekly and go, really? How can you be, you know, that question? I remember I went up to Bruce Coburn one time. What an idiot I am. And I said, you know, are you a real Christian? It was like decades ago that I said that. So just forgive me for being a weenie. But, you know, do you have people kind of saying, you know, look at how you do your thing and you swear and you're outrageous and you can't be a Jesus guy?
You know, it's really something, isn't it? Because there is one thing in the Bible. Who did Jesus hang out with? He hung out with tax collectors and fishermen. And do you think they were a higher class than they are now? Or do you think they were pretty much... Jesus was a carpenter. You think they told jokes? Was he a human being? There's nothing in the Bible about having a sense of humor. There's nothing... It's all man-made. It's not true. Hmm. The one thing is blasphemy, and I've never blasphemed on my show. if it's ever happened, it's unintentional. Blasphemy is very clear in the Bible, as you know, that we can't do, and I don't do it. But as far as making a joke, and my show's aimed at adult men, and laughing, man, are these people missing out on what is a brief flash, this life, and their inability to laugh, these holy, holy types that judge everybody. And, you know, they're going to be judged as well. And I'm glad I won't be judged by their same, their same standards, because they're impossible. I think Jesus put us here. I think God put us here to love one another, to laugh, and to celebrate our time here. And you talk about the prosperity ministry, which so offends you, but I don't think God put us here to be broke and miserable either. I think God's okay with I want my children to be happy, and I think God wants his children to be happy as well, and I'm very happy, and if they don't like it, they can shove it.
Stop being so shy. Can you do me a favor? Because I'm not rolling in it like you are. So when...
Yeah.
Can you ask...
3 million?
Can you... Can you ask James, you know, just send him a note and say maybe he could donate his Harley to me, and that would help me out a little
bit. Yeah, he loves his Harleys. He wanted me to get a Harley, but I really just want to live, although I think it's a great company. But, the fake, I'm just thinking about how he basically told me with some fake tears he could raise $100,000 in the snap of a finger, and the fake tears and the manipulation and the if somebody really repents, you know it, they're sincere. If they don't want anything back, that's somebody that's really sorry. Hmm. And of course, being sorry is you don't care if the other person accepts whether or not you're sorry, you're just sorry. This guy, it's all about manipulation, and he has a cycle for the last 20 years where he would get caught, you know, oh, $500,000 missing. Oh, I feel awful. Oh, James feels just awful, folks. And then he would come back and do it all again. So, yeah.
Well, I seem to be going backwards. I started out as a preacher, and now I'm a radio guy that is, I'm not certain about anything, and pretty soon I'm just going to be a farmer. So I'm trying to avoid more things than get them. Anyway, dude,
I grew up on a farm in Suicide Falls, Missouri, and raised Black Angus cattle, and there's nothing wrong with that, man. I believe the tractor should be green, and the cattle should be black, and the air should be fresh, and the coffee should be black, and it's not a bad life, man. Hey, but you know, you and I are not, we may be just about the stupidest people on earth, because we're doing radio in 2019. There's something with a future. The only better career would be whaling or buggy whips. What are we doing? Radio.
Yeah, or baby seal clubbing.
Our kids couldn't think we're bigger losers.
I know. I asked my kids, have you ever listened to my show once? No. No, no, no. Listen,
it is my favorite internet show out of Canada.
Man, Cal Muller, he's the Harvest Bible outspoken James McDonald guy. How's that for a brand?
Hey, brother.
Yeah.
I think we can agree on one thing.
What's
until
that?
Jesus comes back, and this Friday I'm doing a show. This coming up Friday I'm doing a show.
Yeah.
And I've done a few of these around the world, but the greatest living human being is out of Canada. And I'm talking, I know you know who I'm talking to. I'm talking about William Shatner, and I'm doing a show with him this Friday coming up in a sold-out theater. We do these two-man shows, and when we come through Canada, I hope you'll come and be my guest and hang out with me and Bill.
Absolutely. What, are you coming to Tirana?
I'm sure we will. That's his hometown. So, like I said, until Jesus comes back, the greatest thing we have on this earth is Bill Shatner. I mean, Elvis is dead, so that's going to be it. Although Nova's pretty awesome out of Canada, too. You got to love Aldo Nova.
Oh, my. What is wrong with you? Man, Cal Muller.
Oh, and by the way, something else I can include Canada in on.
Yeah.
We never have really understood Gordon Lightfoot or Burton Cummings. Not like you guys. You get it. We don't.
Yeah. Well... thank you. I mean, you need to say thank you to us for Justin Bieber. Just say it now. Just get out of the way. Get out of the way. Say it. Thank you. Say thank you.
You got us good.
Yeah.
You got us good. The joke's on us with that guy.
We owe you a nightmare. All right, buddy. Take care, man. Great to talk to you. Really good to talk to you. Yeah, thanks, man.
God bless you guys.
Bye-bye. Bye. Man Cow. I can't even say his name. Man Cow Muller. Man Cow Muller. Man Cow?
Sure, go with that.
So many questions. So many more questions. All right, we got to fly. We're late. We're behind. What the heck is that?
Aldo Nova.
You're the best, Timmy.